This next installment of Lectionary at Lunch features the appointed passage for our American Thanksgiving Day, November 25th on Thursday. The brothers and sisters in Christ, especially in the United States, have their national holiday, Thanksgiving, for those who are listening from another place. Hopefully that this time spent with John chapter 6, verses 25 to 35 will still be of interest and benefit to you in the work that you do in teaching and preaching and sharing Christ wherever you may be. Chapter 6 then, beginning with verse 25. You know, our bounty as Christians, as Christian persons in the world today, as persons belonging to Christ our Lord, our bounty is great. Our bounty is full. Our plate is full. We have so many reasons to be thankful. So here in the United States, Thanksgiving is a time, our national holiday, that is, our holiday that we call Thanksgiving, is a time for remembering this, for giving thanks. In our text, in the appointed passage for today, for our consideration today, Jesus teaches the thankful, the expectant, what it really means to have a good cause for giving thanks. They've seen much. They've experienced much in the recent past, the crowds following Jesus, as depicted here in John chapter 6. On the previous day, in association with a great sea, the Sea of Galilee, and kind of a conspicuous and all-important circumstance, the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand, indicates the text in verse 4. In a fairly suggestive setting, on a very suggestive occasion, Jesus, the wonder worker, situates himself beyond the Sea of Galilee on a mountaintop with his followers, with a great crowd attending to him, the Savior figure, the wonder worker. A great crowd follows him, a great crowd attends to him, and a great crowd experiences yet another great sign from this Jesus. They've been following him on account of the signs. Jesus does not disappoint. He performs yet another sign here in chapter 6. It's the multiplication of the loaves, the feeding of the 5,000, beginning with 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus feeds 5,000. All this, of course, proves to be very suggestive and indicative to the crowds who are with him. They take all these circumstances and their entire experience of him to mean a very important thing. You know, it all suggests to them that Jesus is the long-awaited, much-anticipated prophet like Moses, who was first to miraculously feed the people of God in paradigmatic terms. Jesus now is to the crowds who are with him now that long-awaited, much-anticipated prophet like Moses. Their intention is to make him king, but because their comprehension of this whole matter is still conspicuously lacking in necessary terms, their confession of him is correct yet insufficient insofar as they are not fully comprehending either Jesus' person or his purpose. For these reasons, Jesus refrains from allowing the masses to, on the spot, that is, move to make him king. His hour is not yet come. Their intention for him is alien to his purpose. So he refuses their intention, withdraws again to the mountain by himself. That night, his followers, in returning to Capernaum, experience a remarkable thing with the crossing of the sea. and the encounter of Jesus in the midst of the sea. You know, all of this has gone on the day before in this chapter. All of this is a prelude to verses 25 to 35 here in chapter 6. All this has gone on. Jesus has returned to them in the midst of their experience of the threat of disaster on the sea, and has miraculously transported them to their desired destination, Capernaum. The crowds the next day kind of assessing all things and having a great interest in staying close to this Redeemer figure that they've experienced now. They, too, follow Jesus to the other side of the sea. There they meet up with him again, and there they have thanks and an expectation to bring to Jesus on account of what they've experienced from him so far, on account of the signs. Verse 25. And they found him kai hurontes auton. That's an aorist participle of hurisko. Just indicating simple sequence here. First they found him, and then they said something to him. So, kai hurontes auton, and they found him across the sea, peron tes thalasses, and they said to him, apon auto. Apon's an aorist indicative active of lego. They said to him, rabbi, rabbi, the vocative, when pote here, hode gegonas, have you become? When did you get here? When is pretty close to how. The circumstances of the previous day involved Jesus separating himself from the masses and then mysteriously making his way to the other side of the sea without the knowledge of the crowd. So, you know, it's not just a question of when, it's how, it's why, you know, it's what are you up to? Why did you leave us? You know, aren't you here for us? When did you get here? Pote hode gegenas. Verse 26. Jesus answered them, apakrithe autois ha Jesus. Apakrithe is an aorist indicative passive deponent verb form. So it just has a past time sense, an active sense. Jesus answered apakrithe and said, kai apen, another aorist indicative active of lego. Truly, truly, amen, amen. Well, when the truly, truly's start coming from Jesus, we all know as readers that the recipients are in for it. I mean, they're in for some instruction, that is. Their incomprehension is provoking Jesus to do the necessary thing. He is here to point them in the right direction. Truly, truly, amen, amen, I say to you, lego, humin, you seek me, zetete me. So that's just a present indicative active of zeteo there, zetete me. You seek me not, because, hote, you saw, edete, semeia, signs. Ooh, well, that's an interesting suggestion. You know, they have seen signs. They are following him on account of the signs. They've just experienced a sign, but now Jesus is saying to them, you saw something, but you didn't really, really see what you were really supposed to see. And he's here to tell them now, or he's here at least to suggest to them now, that there's more for them to see, greater things than what you thought you were seeing. There is here for you now to see. So they didn't see what they were supposed to be seeing. You seek me not because you saw signs, semeia. Rather, Allah, the contracted form of Allah follows, then hate. We should be inferring a second instance of the main clause here. You seek me, hoter, because, ephagete, you ate, that's the aorist indicative active of estheo, you ate ek ton arton of the loaves, of the breads, and kai echortasthete is of the verb chortadzo, I fill, in the passive here, aorist indicative passive, you were filled, you were satiated, you ate and you were satisfied, and that got you excited, that filled you with a sense of thanksgiving, that created a sense of expectancy in you, and for this reason you're here again the next day, looking for me, finding me, you know, asking questions of me, suggests Jesus. But are you here for the right reasons, or are you just here for another lunch? Jesus offers the penetrating suggestion that they've followed him for the wrong reasons. You ate and you were satiated. You're here again, it seems, for more of the same. Verse 27. So Jesus goes on. Ergadzeste. It's an imperative of ergadzomai. Present, imperative, middle, deponent. The present imperative plus may stop working for tain brosin, the food, which an adjectival use of the participle follows tain apalumenein. That's a form of apalume. In the passive, the form is intransitive. It refers to a perishing. Work not for the food that perishes, apalumenein. Rather, Allah. And again, Allah involves a need on our part after the strong conjunction to infer a second instance of the main clause here. It's implied, it's assumed, it's not given. We should be thinking of another use of the imperative. You know, work not for this one thing, work instead for another thing. Allah, rather, work. We're assuming again a second use of ergadzeste. Work for the food, tain brosin, and then another adjectival use of the participle follows, tain manusan. That's a present participle active of meno. Work for the food which abides, remains, endures, manusan, into ace, zoein, the life, ionaon, the life of the age to come, the life of the eschatological age, the life of that pertains to the age of the fulfillment of all things. Work not for what you got yesterday. Work instead for a greater thing. That's what Jesus is suggesting here. But it's not clear that the crowds, that those who followed him to Capernaum the next day are really comprehending yet, even now, what Jesus is meaning for them to be mindful of. So he's going to say more, and then the crowds will respond with incomprehension, which abides into the age to come, which hain, the son, ha huios, of man, to anthropu, to you, human, will give, dose. Dose is just the future indicative active of didome. So, you know, work for something that the Son of Man is here to give you, which does not perish, which endures into the age which is to come. I mean, it all sounds good to Jesus' hearers. But again, they will respond with a good bit of incomprehension. For this one, Tutankhar, the father, Ha-Pater, has sealed, Sfragisen, is of the verb sfragidzo. You know, when you seal something, you mark it, you identify it, you certify it, you attest to it. All this pertains to Jesus. The Father has designated Jesus, the appointed one, the sent one, the duly delegated one, to do the things of the Father. For this reason, Jesus has come. To this, Jesus points, I am the duly delegated, sent one from God to do the works of God. Effectively, his language confirms for them that they have at least a part of the occasion right. He is significantly what they take him to be, and the time is what they're taking it to be. But full comprehension of Jesus' person and his purpose in being all of this, in doing any of this, in accomplishing any of this, that for now is lost on them. And Jesus is suggesting as much. For this one, the Father, God, Ha-Theos, has sealed. Verse 28. Therefore they said. You know, un in John is so frequent, it often just means then. Once in a while, it means, the more usual, it means therefore. It looks here like it could quite nicely be meaning therefore. Therefore, un, they said, a pun, aorist form of lego again, to him, pros auton. What, te, the interrogative, is followed by a subjunctive, a nice use of the deliberative subjunctive. A form of poieo, what shall we do, poiomen, in order that, henna, we might work, ergadzometha, another form of ergadzomai, here in the subjunctive, henna takes the subjunctive. You know, Jesus has suggested to them that there is a part for them to play, a work for them to do, in order for them to receive the goodly things of God. So they're asking, they're responding with some interest and some enthusiasm, born of the recent past. They're asking the question, you know, what shall we do? You know, you say there's a work for us to do. Okay, you tell us what the work is that we're supposed to be working in order to work the works of God, in order to receive. Of course, there's a little self-interest here with their question. In order to receive the very things that you are talking about, what shall we do in order that we might work the works, ta erga, of God, tu theou? Jesus answered, verse 29, apakrithe ha Jesus, Jesus answered, and said to them, kai epen autois. This, tuta, is, estin, the work of God. Here it comes. This, declares Jesus, is the work, ta ergon, of God, tu theou. That you believe, henna pistuete. The henna clause stands in apposition to tuta. Tuta looks forward to the work of God and then to the henna clause that follows. Henna specifies what this is. This is the work of God. The work of God is this, that you believe, pistuete, present subjunctive of pistuo, in, ace, the one whom, relative pronoun, relative clause follows, hun, the one whom, that one, jumping ahead a little bit to ekenos, right? There's the subject of the relative clause. The verb precedes it. The one whom that one, namely God, God in the previous context is far, not near. So the demonstrative pronoun here is far, not near. That one sent this one. That one sent Jesus. This is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom that one, God, sent, apostelen, the aorist of apostello. Well, they're just not going to get this. Verse 30. Then they said, then, or therefore, they said to him. They responded again, apon, un, auto. What then, te, un, are you doing, poies, su? Su is the explicit offering of the subject of poies, which is not, in fact, necessary. So when it's supplied here, a little emphasis is added. There's a bit of an edge to their response. It's not necessarily hostile, their response, but there's a bit of an edge to the exchange. Jesus is suggesting to them that they're, you know, not exactly tracking with everything that they should be knowing or expecting here. He suggested to them that there's a necessary thing for them to be doing that they're not yet doing. That is to say, you know, comprehending better, comprehending more, greater things than these will you see, will you understand, will you comprehend. They're not there yet. He's suggesting to them that they have their part to play. Now they're asking him, what's your part? What's your part to play? What then, te un, poies, are you doing? Makes that emphatic. What sign then are you doing? Semeion completes the question. In order that, how about you do a part yourself here? How about another sign, great wonder worker? He has performed great wonders. He has declared to them, at least some of his hearers, at least, unless you folks see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. They're following him because he's the great wonder worker. He's performed on the previous day yet another sign. What do they want now? They want more of the same. If they have a part to play, then they figure Jesus' part to play in all of this is for him to keep doing what he's been doing. How about you show us a reason for us to be hanging with you right now? What sign then are you doing? In order that, henna, we might see idomen, the aorist of horao, and believe kai pistousomen, the aorist of pistuo, and believe soy you. What are you? You say we got a work to do. What work do you have to do? Te ergadze, what are you working? Then they've got more to suggest. They've got something fairly specific to suggest. Verse 31. Our fathers, hoi pateras hemon, ate manna. Everything that's happened so far has been very suggestive, has been quite indicative of the storied past of Israel, and has been quite indicative of the prophetic expectation of the people of God. There was a Moses. They're waiting on the new Moses. They're waiting on the eschatological second Moses. In Deuteronomy, one encounters a promise of a future prophet like Moses, who will bring to fruition, all that the prior work of God, was given to indicate, all that was hoped for by the prophets and now continues to be hoped for by the people. Yes, there was a first Moses. Now they're looking at what they take to be a second Moses. So they are very intentionally, very consciously comparing the first of the first Moses to the present Moses, and they're suggesting to the present Moses that he should keep doing the Moses thing. Our fathers, hoi pateras hemon, ate manna, ta manna, ephagon, another aorist indicative of estheo, and they ate the manna in the desert, en te eremo. Just as it stands written, kathos estin gegramenon, they will even cite now a text in support of their expectation and their desire, arton ek tu uranu, bread out of heaven, he gave edoken to them autois to eat, phagein. The aorist infinitive of estheo, preceded by the aorist indicative of didomen. Jesus gets the gist of what they're suggesting, implying, digging for with him, but he still, in very insistent terms, is there to inform, not to submit to, both the good and the bad of their expectation. Verse 32. Jesus said a pen to them autois. The subject comes last. Ha Jesus. Here comes another truly, truly. Here's another teaching moment. Unfortunately, they're not going to get the instruction. This is a regular experience in the narrative and plot line of the story, both those friendly to Jesus and those not friendly to Jesus are ever and always responding to Jesus, his actions and his words, with incomprehension. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, amen, amen, I say to you, lego humen. Not Moses, ou mouzes. Moses has not given dedoken, the perfect indicative of didome. Moses has not given to you, humen, the bread, ton arton, of heaven or from heaven, ek tu uranu. Properly speaking, it wasn't Moses who gave, it was another who gave, it was the Father who gave through Moses. Let's get the giver right here, suggests Jesus, so we can also then correctly identify the given that's happening now. Not Moses has given to you the bread from heaven. Rather, but with the rather comes a shift in tense that's important for us to notice. Moses has not, the Father gives. See that? Al ha pater, rather, my Father, ha pater mu, gives, didosin, to you, humen, the bread, ton arton, from heaven, ek tu uranu, and in the now, with the present giving of it, that is, it's not just the previous, it's not just a repeat performance of the past that God provides with the giving of it, the bread from heaven. No, this time the true, the authentic, the final real deal, the final completing real deal is in evidence. It's even a greater deal than the deal that they had the day before. What they're in a position to know, what they especially need to know from Jesus in their experience of him, in their hearing of him, is that he isn't just merely a second, another Moses. A new Moses who repeats the previous wonders of the prior Moses and feeds the people of God in the wilderness in a desolate place in an extraordinary circumstance involving a very troublesome and testing experience. Now, Jesus is not here just to do it all again as it was done before. He's here to do it all and better. He is here for the sake of the giving of a true, that is to say, a completing, authentic, and final bread from heaven. Verse 33, for the bread of God, ha gar artos tu theou, is estin. Here comes the punchline. Here comes the thing that they really need to comprehend, but they won't comprehend, immediately. The true bread of heaven is estin, the one, not that which, but the one who, ha, the one who. What follows is a substantized use of the participle katabainon. It's a form of katabaino. Here it's substantized so that we can be enjoying Jesus' reference to himself as the one who descends, ha katabainon, from heaven, ek tu uranu, and gives life, kai zoein deduce, kai links the two participles. Kai links katabainon and deduce. The definite article that precedes katabainon then governs both participles, not just the first, the one who descends and gives, deduce. What does he give? He gives life, zoein, to the world, to cosmo. So here it is. Jesus is saying it in remarkably plain terms. I am the living and true bread come down from heaven. And my intention in this world is to give my life for the sake of the world. The true bread will be given in sacrifice. For the sake of the life of the world, that's who he is. That's what he's here for. That's what he's pointing to. But they are not comprehending this. Verse 34, still, they're not comprehending this, as the text, the next two verses that follow indicate. A pun. They said, therefore, or then, un, to him, pros auton, Lord, the vocative of Kyrios, Kyrie, Lord, pantote, always, the imperative of didome follows, to always give, dos, to us, amen, this bread, ton arton tuton. But they don't, they're interested. It all sounds good to them. But they don't understand what it means for Jesus to be saying, there's a bread come down from heaven for you to enjoy, for me to give, for me to provide, that will redound to the great benefit of the entire world. Life will be given by means of this bread. I'm here for the purpose of providing this bread. They're excited so and say themselves, Lord, give this bread to us always. But what's already happened in the narrative and what follows in the narrative, tragically, ironically, dramatically, illustrates the fact that, their thanksgiving, in this occasion and their expectation are wayward, are misdirected, are misinformed. Jesus will say it again, or point to it again, but they will not comprehend it. He is the bread. He is not just here to provide a bread. He is the bread, and we receive him, that bread, by doing our part, which is in delightful terms now a great and simple part. The part for us to do in all of this is to believe in the one whom God the Father has sent. That's our part. That's our part. That's how we receive him. That's how we enjoy him. That's how we acquire what Jesus is here to be, to provide for the sake of the life of the world. Verse 35, Jesus said to them, Epen autois a Jesus, I am, ego emi, the bread haartos of life. Tes zoes, the one who comes to me, substantized participle, ha erchomenos of erchomai, to me, pros eme, will in no way hunger. Here we're looking at the a nice use of the subjunctive of emphatic denial. It's the no way Jose use of the subjunctive. Ou me plus the subjunctive, the aorist subjunctive of the verb of hungering here. The one who comes to me will in no way Jose hunger, and the one who believes in me, ha pestuon, another substantized participle, in me, eis eme. Here comes another case of emphatic negation. Will in no way thirst, ou me dipsese. So that's a subjunctive of dipsao, followed by the adverb popate, at any time. The one who believes in, believe, and again, it's all important for us to be noticing what our part is, as defined by Jesus in this text. Our part for us to do in order for us to receive the bread of God, the bread of life, is a simple one. To believe is to receive. To receive is to believe. The bounty is great. Our plate is full. We have so many reasons to be thankful. Thanksgiving is a time for remembering this. For giving thanks, in our text, Jesus teaches us all, the thankful, the expectant, teaches us all what it really means to have reason for thanks.